We're going to continue our study in the book of Romans today. If you'll stand with me, we'll read from chapter 12 of Romans. Our text is verse 13. Why don't we back up and start from verse 1, getting a running start, since it's been a week or two since we've been in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, read with me, please. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Feel free to take that. That's for you. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, the very words of God in our hands. What a privilege, what a joy. Thank you for the opportunity to meet freely together, to fellowship with like-minded believers. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you collectively here. Thank you for the love that you've so lavishly poured out upon us and your many, many blessings. Father, you have met every single one of our needs and then so much more. We're grateful to you, for you are God and there is no other. We love you, we serve you, we're committed to you. And Father, this is your time. And we're your people. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us. Your spirit would teach us this morning. You will mold us in the image of Christ. And we'll learn how to obey you and love you back the way you deserve. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. In our service to God, our spiritual service of worship, and serving God, we're to get our eyes off ourselves. It's not about the me church. Christianity is not about me, not about you. It's about serving God, being obedient to God. And as we learn to serve God, we learn to serve others, because serving others is serving God. God gives us two more instructions in our text, verse 13 to chapter 12. Instructions on how to serve him, and more importantly, instructions about getting our eyes off ourselves. So let's dive in, take it piece by piece this morning. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. Let's look at that in reverse order. Start with saints. What's a saint? Is it some NFL football team in New Orleans? Special group of people with a blessing from the Pope? Is that what a saint is? What's a saint? Let's see what Scripture has to say. First, the original text is hagias. Hagias is a Greek word. It literally means pure, blameless, holy, set apart. Hagias, saints. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. 8 times in this letter to the church at Rome, Paul uses this term to describe the recipients of this letter. Chapter 1, verse 7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, what are they called? Called as saints, hagias. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Which he promised beforehand, talking about the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the holy scriptures. Same word, hagias. Verse 2, holy, hagias. Verse 7, saints. 7 other times in this letter, Paul refers to saints, hagias, as the recipients of this letter. Saints are the people who receive this letter to the church at Rome. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When I was growing up, it was confusing. I thought a saint was somebody ultra spiritual, somebody maybe with a special blessing, special rank and file, the kingdom of God. That's not what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Again, a letter, the church at Corinth, from the Apostle Paul. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, past tense, in Christ Jesus, comma, saints, by calling, with all who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Saints, those who are sanctified. Remember what sanctified means in our study through the book of Romans? The whole theme of Romans is about righteousness. God's righteous and we are not. And God's plan of salvation, how he can take an unrighteous, unholy person and declare them righteous. That's sanctification, being sanctified, positionally declared righteous. So these saints are the recipients of these two letters, and there are folks that have been sanctified. Who are sanctified? Who's been declared righteous? Let's go back to Romans. Back to Romans chapter 6 this time. I don't want you to be confused about who the saints are. You might be one of them and don't know it. I want you to know it. Romans 6, verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is what? Eternal life. Those sanctified positionally receive eternal life. Those saints are those sanctified. Who's sanctified? Who gets eternal life? What does it take to have eternal life? Remember Romans Road? Those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. We call them Christians. Born again, true. Born again Christians are saints. So if you've done that, if you put your trust in Christ, if you're a born again Christian, you have another title this morning. You're a saint. You're a saint. Regardless of what I say, what Scripture says, you're a saint. So Paul says, contributing to the needs of the saints. Who? Born again believers. True Christians. That's the who. That's the saints. What about the needs? Back to our text, 12:13. contributing to the needs of the saints. Needs. Wow. That's a term that gets messed up nowadays, isn't it? We try to filter it all down to what a true need is. You look this up in the dictionary. Even the dictionaries, some dictionaries have adjusted their definition of a need nowadays. There's a difference between a need and a want, isn't there? Everything we just got for Christmas, most of it just a want. Not a need, is it? Basic needs, food, water, shelter, stuff like that. When you boil it all down, necessities. What's a necessity? Contributing to the needs of the saints, to the believers, the born-again fellow believers, Christians, the needs, not the wants. We spend a lot of time and money chasing the wants, don't we? It's not what we're talking about here. The Greek word is kria, and it literally means needs, necessities. That's saints and that's needs. Now the big one, contributing. This is the one that brings it all together for us. This is the one that makes it a little personable for us. One that causes us to get involved. Instructions from God, contributing to the needs of the saints. Contributing. This is the word that causes us to get our eyes off ourselves and onto others. I've been practicing how to pronounce the Greek word here, so I'll give it a shot. Kononeo. Isn't that neat? Kononeo. That's the Greek word here. Literally means to share with others. To share with others. Come on, Pastor. Share with others. I'm an adult. It's the kind of stuff we did in kindergarten, isn't it? Learn how to share your toys. Play well together in the sandbox. This is what God's asking us to do. To share with others. Literally, to share. I thought we didn't have to do that kind of stuff now that we're adults. I mean, I earn the money and I spend it the way I want to, and you're asking me to share? God's asking you to share. Share with others. We have to continue to remember where it comes from and what it's for. All that stuff that we have, that God's blessed us with. All the stuff, it comes from God. It's God's. It's for His kingdom, His glory, not just for our comfort, our pleasure. Remember the goal? The goal here on earth is not comfort and pleasure. It's conformity to Christ, not the world, to Christ. And yes, we have to share. We are blessed. He has blessed us. We have an abundance. And so God says to share. So we put it all together, because I can tell some of you are a little concerned right now. You're looking at me like, what is this, some type of socialism? What are you asking me to do, Chip? My hard-earned money, my hard-earned toys, things, wants, stuff, Christmas presents, share with others? Absolutely. No, it's not socialism. It's community. It's family. It's demonstrating the love of Christ to others. As we serve others, we serve God. As we serve others, we serve God. What do we share? Stuff. Actually, we share in the needs of others. Other saints, other believers. Your needs become my needs. You hear me? That's a family, isn't it? As brothers and sisters in Christ, we call each other. When I see another brother or sister in need, it's my need. I take ownership of that need. I share in the need of others, of other saints. It's not outreach. It's not evangelism. It's a family. There's a time and place for outreach and evangelism later. He's talking scripturally here. He's talking contributing to the needs of the saints, meeting the needs of other believers, family of Christ. God meets the needs, doesn't he? God meets every single one of our needs. But sometimes he meets those needs through other people. You ever had that done? Listen, we are instruments of service of God. We serve God. We're at his service. Sometimes he uses us to meet a need for somebody else. Has that ever happened to you? I learned this lesson as a 12-year-old boy. My father was out of work for a long time. And we did all we could as a family to raise money to put food on the table. We had an electric bill. It was due. Had no money. Family got together. We prayed about it. Got on our knees and we asked God to meet this need. I'm just 12 years old. The next morning, there's a check in the mailbox for exactly the amount needed to pay that electricity bill. It's amazing. I learned a huge lesson as a 12-year-old boy. God meets needs. Prayer works. It's huge. And our needs were met. It was only a few years later that I came to realize that that check was put in that mailbox by a church member. I became aware of the need, and God used him to meet that need. It's the way it works. Contributing to the needs of the saints as family, as brothers and sisters, I share in your need. And later, as I got older, I understood how my father himself, in turn, met needs in the church. Young couple, just had no money, was blessed with a baby, no insurance. My dad paid all the hospital bills after he got on his feet. Same thing. Takes on the needs of others, sharing what God has blessed us. It's not hard in theory, is it? We're instruments of service to God. God has blessed us in abundance. In practice, though, it's our perspective because we have to let go. All the blessings God's given us, we can cling to it. We can hang on to it. We can sit on it. We can cherish it. We can love it. We can let it go. And we can share it. We can serve others with it. We can be instruments of service to God as we serve others, and we can be a blessing to others. But it starts with our perspective, how we think about it. It's not ours. It's God's. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 50. We looked at this briefly during Thanksgiving. Psalm 50 and verse 10. You'll have to forgive me. I have a toothache. Some of you know about it. I'm heavily medicated this morning. So I'll blame it on that. Psalm 50, chapter 10. Chapter 50, verse 10. For he sees that even wise men die. That's not right. That's 49. How about 50? Chapter 50, verse 10. Try it again. For every beast of the forest is mine. This is God talking. This is God talking. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine. That pretty much sums it up. Captures everything. For the world is mine and all it contains, God says. Listen, you hear this phrase, my God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Like he's going to give it to us. No, that in context, the verse is saying, my God owns it all. Everything. The whole world and all it contains. Even those thousand cattle. Even your thousand cattle. Even what's in your garage and your attic and your house and your bank account. He owns it all. It's not a verse we can claim when we want God to shower us with money, to be some investment broker. Well, I'm going to name it and claim it. God owns a thousand cattle, or a thousand cattle on a hill, or a hill a thousand cattle, or any of that. The point is, it's all his. Even what you got is his. What I have is his. Does that help you change your perspective on letting it go, on sharing it with other believers in Christ, your fellow brothers and sisters? I've earned it. I worked hard for it. God says it's his. You don't own it. God is sovereign. Just because we're in the application part of Romans doesn't mean we forget the sovereignty part of Romans. He's still in control of everything. He's God. He owns it all. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We again look at the early church in Acts chapter 2. As we have tried to refocus, get focused on the fundamentals of a church, our goal to make disciples, to focus everything we do on being a disciple-making machine here. We look at the early church. What were they focused on? They were continually devoted to four things. We've looked at this before. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We'll start there. They were continually devoting themselves to God's word, the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's keep reading. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. The apostles. They were making the signs and wonders. 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Note this. Get this, 45. And they began selling their property. What? And possessions. What? And were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Contributing to the needs of the saints, exactly what the early church was doing. Community, family, not socialism. Listen, God's word says you don't work, you don't eat. But God's word also says share. Demonstrate the love of Christ to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Share their needs. You got a need? Should be our need. We should let go of the abundance that we have and share. That's what God expects. You know, God expects us to do this, not the government, not some mission organization, not some parachurch organization with false doctrine, some ecumenical organization. It expects us individually to do this. It expects us as a church to do this. It's our job. We are to share with other believers, contributing to the needs of the saints. Back to our text, Romans 12, verse 13. Instruction number two for getting our eyes off ourselves, learning to serve others. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Practicing hospitality, what's that all about? Hospitality is a unique word, it's a compound word in the Greek. Two words, philos, which means friend, and xenos, which means stranger. You put them together, and it's to be a friend to a stranger. Be a friend to a stranger. This word is only used one other time in all of Scripture. It has a little twist to it, a different word, also translated hospitality, used three other times. That word, two out of those three times, are used to describe the characteristics of an elder, a leader, a spiritual leader in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, being hospitable. Being a friend to a stranger. We talked about contributing to the needs of the saints. Now we're looking at people we don't know. Strangers. Being friendly, kind, demonstrating love to a stranger. Not expecting anything in return. Just out of the kindness of your heart. As a testimony of the love of Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And see, the only other time in all of Scripture that this particular compound Greek word is used, Hebrews chapter 13, all the way towards the back. Hebrews 13, verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Same word, hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Why? For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And that's a little wacky, isn't it? A, that angels could show up as strangers. B, that you could come across these strangers and not even know it, that they're angels. Why would God do that? Just toying with us? I think he's testing us. Listen, that old Fred, I blessed his socks off. Fred's got more than he needs. Abundance of stuff. And I continue to bless Fred for no reason except I'm God and I just like blessing him. Let's see what Fred's going to do with that stuff. Is he going to cling to it, hold on to it, sit on it? Is he going to be greedy with it? Let me test Fred with this angel. As he sees a stranger in need, what's he going to do? I'm busy. I got things to do. Man, I love my stuff. I can't give you any of that stuff. I mean, I got family. My family has, well, they have wants. They want my stuff. You're just a stranger. I think God's testing us. Do you love me, Fred? Do you love me, Pastor Chip? You gonna cling to the stuff, Chip? You gonna let it go? Man, I've blessed your socks off. You gonna share it? You're going to share it with brothers and sisters in need? You're going to help out and be hospitable, be a friend to a stranger? God says, do it. This is outreach. Now we're talking about outreach, reaching out to strangers, those outside the family of Christ, and demonstrating the same love that we have. The same love we have for the family member, let's show that to the stranger outside the church. This lost and dying world. Hey, we're supposed to be light and salt, remember? That's how you do that. This is how you be light, is you demonstrate the love of Christ to people you don't even know. To strangers. That's outreach. And when you do it, you tell them about Christ. You capitalize on an opportunity to evangelize. Because the first step in making disciples is evangelism. Knowing Christ, then they can grow in Christ. And then they in turn can go share Christ with others. That's outreach. Well, we haven't finished the text yet, have we? Let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's hospitality. What about practicing? The word translated practicing there literally means pursue. It's the same word used in Romans 9:30 and 9:31. In this same letter that Paul says to pursue righteousness. Talks about the Jews pursuing righteousness by pursuing the law. Same word. Here, pursue, practice, hospitality. The point is, you got to look for it. Okay. Oh, all right, Chip. Pastor, I'll share if, you know, somebody just is right in front of me and I can't avoid them and I can't find an exit or can't politely get out of it. I have to. God says, pursue. Go look for it. Actively search. Go out of your way and look for strangers to be kind to. It's kind of kin to Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples. Didn't say let them come. He said for you to go, for us to go. God's telling us here, contribute to the needs of the saints, your family members in Christ, and then go look for others to demonstrate the love of Christ to. Pursue. Look for them. Be hospitable to them. Seek and find. As you go, as you pursue these hospitality opportunities, let me give you a few practical tips. Practical tip time. When you do so, don't let convenience be a factor. If you wait till it's convenient to demonstrate the love of Christ to either your brothers and sisters in Christ or to strangers, it's not going to happen. Don't let convenience be a factor. In fact, rarely is it ever convenient to be hospitable. Don't let your differences be a factor. I mean, we look at people and they're different than us. Doesn't matter race, gender, religion, pink hair spiked all up. It doesn't matter. Don't let your differences be a factor. Demonstrate the love of Christ to everybody. All the strangers, even the strange-looking strangers. Does that make sense? If it's a financial need, I wouldn't recommend giving out cash. Meet the need directly. Don't go alone. Take somebody with you. If it's a stranger, for accountability's sake, and maybe for safety too. Watch your attitude. I have been hospitable and hated every minute of it. I'll put on a smile. My attitude's wrong. I'll do it out of obligation, begrudgedly. Is that a word? 1 Peter 4:9 says, to show be hospitable to one another without complaint. Don't complain about it. Do it with a good attitude. It shows. Believe me. When you're trying to contribute to the needs of a saint or show hospitality to a stranger, and you got a bad attitude, it shows. Do it out of love. Love for God and love for others. Be respectful. Not in a demeaning, degrading way. Be respectful. The goal is to encourage the other person, not to belittle them. Look for other needs other than financial needs. You know, sometimes people just need a friend. Companion, somebody to hang out with, an ear, a listening ear. Hospitality can simply be showing some kindness and being a friend to someone else. This is huge, especially for the unchurched pagan. And lastly, don't forget their spiritual needs. Share your testimony. Explain your motive for this kindness to the stranger, this hospitality that you pursued. I'm doing this because I love Christ. Christ loves me. Christ loves you. It's a beautiful opportunity to address their spiritual needs. Just share your testimony. Tell them about your relationship with Christ. Express to them your concern, not only their need presently, but their eternal destiny, their need for a Savior. It's not really witnessing for Jesus if you do these outreach things and they don't know you're a follower of Jesus, is it? It's not a testimony or a witness for Christ if the person receiving all the kindness and the love does not have a clue that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You got to tell them. God's given you instructions, now an opportunity, and you've got to step through the door and share your testimony. Give them the good man test. Something. Remember in our Sunday night studies on how to share your faith. This week, proactively pursue opportunities to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Share your many blessings with others. This week, serve God by serving others. This week, be a blessing to someone else. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for our many blessings. Father, we got it made. If we just get our mind right and realize this is not it. Father, you have saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ, graciously, mercifully. You've given us escape from the wrath to come, paradise and heaven to look forward to. But we're not there yet. This ain't heaven. We're not done. You left us here on earth for a reason. To serve you. To serve others. To be obedient. Father, I pray that we'll get our eyes off ourselves. That you will use us as instruments this week for your glory and your honor. And as we let go of the stuff, as we look actively for opportunities to be hospitable, we look for needs to meet, that will marvel at your mighty hand at work. Father, I pray that people will come to know you in a saving way and escape the wrath to come and enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we love you. Talk is cheap. I pray we'll demonstrate our love to you by demonstrating our love to others this week. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.